1859.
Welcome to episode 8 of the 1859 podcast. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
You know, I was thinking, Mike, about 1859, the title of our show, and I was wondering if it needs to be adjusted for inflation.
To what number?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to go over to the Indian restaurant and ask the proprietors. But don't you think it's up around maybe 1973 by now?
It could be, especially since we've been doing double episodes for the past 3 episodes. But we are, this time around, we're going back to the original format after a number of complaints.
I prefer to think of it as creative input from our large and growing audience.
Right, yes. All 10 people have told us that they preferred the original format, which was us actually editing the podcast down and not just doing it live.
1859.
And in this particular episode is
Holidays. Yes, we're going to deal with holidays today with your hopes and fears and your dreams about holidays.
I feel like we should have done this before the Christmas holiday that just occurred.
No, I disagree. I think the retrospective cast is going to...
Because stuff just happened.
Yeah. It's fresh in people's minds. The loving kindness of the holidays is fresh in people's minds.
You have some kind of sound you really wanted to use on this episode.
Yeah, I figure because I, for one, am going to tell a Christmas story, Mike. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's the holiday that leaps to mind when I think holidays.
Well, I'm a Jew, so I don't know these things.
Since I intend to talk about Christmas, I thought it would be good to use the sound that my friend Thatcher Keith sent me, which purports to be Stairway to Heaven played backwards, in which Robert Plant says the words, "Here's my good friend, Satan."
I don't quite hear that saying, "This is my good friend, Satan."
The Satan part definitely sounds like Satan, though, don't you think?
Let's play it again. No, it still doesn't sound like it.
Okay, maybe you're right.
Although I could probably create one. In fact, I'm going to create one right now while you're sitting over there. And here it is.
Here's my friend Satan.
Now that is, this is my good friend Satan backwards. I will have just created that. You're confused.
You're really going to do that?
I will.
Excellent. Okay, I'm into it. Are you going to try to say, "Here's my good friend Satan" backwards and then turn it around?
It's already done. In fact, it was you just saying it just right now that I just took and did it backwards and just put it in there.
It's in there for the gumpser.
I mean, you just set it forward and then it'll be backwards.
It's in there for the gumpser. Oh, but we're trying to get "Here's my good friend Satan." That's some other sentence that when you turn it around, it sounds like "Here's my good friend Satan."
Well, what would that be? That would be like, "Where's my food stamp egg crates?"
Here's my friend Satan.
1859.
Let's just jump into this.
All right. I have a mediocre holiday story.
Oh, that's exciting. That'll get everybody interested in listening to it.
To the rest of the 18 minutes. So I'm just going to tell it really fast. And it's like this, Mike. For a long time in my teens, I threw up on Christmas every year. And the reason for this, besides that I used to be a drinking man, the reason for this is that, like you, I come from a broken home. And so Christmas was always this half the day with one parent and then half the day with the other business, which I really disliked. So as a result of that, starting at about age 15, I would drink as much as I could. And then somewhere around midnight mass, I would puke and pass out.
I shouldn't be laughing. But sorry.
So it kind of went on like this for a while. I think it may, I'm also allergic to red wine, actually, which never stopped me from drinking it, but that might have helped too, because I would usually drink like some eggnog with rum in it and some Jack Daniels and some beer and then some white wine and some red wine. And then, you know, it was all too much. So anyway, in 1986, finally I was 25 and you would think I would have learned better by now. I went on like a sort of a 3-day drinking binge before Christmas. I figured I'd really bone up this year and be ahead of the game by the time Saint Nick came down the chimney. So I woke up on Christmas Day And I had this toxic withdrawal event from the 3 days of drinking where I started hallucinating. I thought I was having a LSD flashback, and all the lights in the room were too bright, and I was thinking people were interrogating me, and I was hearing voices, and I was totally ruining Christmas because everybody was trying to open their stockings and feel all joyful and happy about the day, even though it was always a kind of bittersweet day. And I was sitting in the corner, tortured, unable to use language, and couldn't open any presents, and was thinking I was having a heart attack, until I hit on the solution to my problems.
Drink.
I drank.
1859. Well, I was kind of struggling to think if I had a good holiday story. And it's funny that you should ask if I celebrated Christmas, because in fact, I did, even though I am a full-blood Jew. My parents were divorced. My mother remarried my stepfather, who had two kids. And in fact, he grew up a Catholic. And although he's not a practicing Catholic by any means, we celebrated Christmas, mostly just because the tree smells good. And it's fun to get gifts.
It does smell good. The smelling good tree is an important part of the whole thing.
But this was back in the 80s, probably the late 80s. And you know, at the time, of course, with the trouble of separated parents and step-parents and all that stuff, I was not getting along with my stepfather. But I do remember going to the mall, the Lynn Haven Mall in Virginia Beach, Virginia, with my one of my friends, and buying all of our gifts within one afternoon, going from shop to shop in the mall. And I think I got my sister a Chilly Willy the Penguin t-shirt, and I got another sister some really cheap earrings, and you know, I forget, but and then
you were really digging deep for these presents.
Yeah, you know, I was like 15 or 16, and like, you know, I got to get all my shopping done today, and I had like a list, and you know, it's like, well, what do I get my stepfather? I don't want to get him anything, but I probably should get him something, and I have to, you know, and it was a struggle, and I think I ended up in Spencer's, which is the store, I don't know, that was kind of like the store that sold fart spray and.
And, yeah, it was all like bodily functions. It was a whole store.
I came across a gift that I decided I would get for my stepfather, just a small token, and I didn't really think too much about it. And it was this little vibrating cat paw. I don't really know how to describe this thing other than it was like, you know, like 6 inches long. It was orange with black spots. And it was like this little miniature tiger paw, and it had, for one of its paw pads, it was like if you actually pressed the paw pad, it vibrated. And I'm not sure what I was thinking, but I brought this gift home and wrapped it. Just thought it was kind of a fun little gift. I wasn't even thinking that it was like anything sex related. I just thought it was like a funny thing. Like, oh, here's a cat paw that you press on and it vibrates. I hadn't really thought twice about it, but I wrapped it up and gave it to him, and on Christmas morning, the whole family sat around and opened gifts, and he opened his vibrating cat paw. And, you know, I was don't know what reaction I was expecting I would get from everybody, but the entire room just busted out into laughter, including him. I mean, we were in tears. The entire room was crying from laughter, like doubled over in stitches, and I don't even know what became of that vibrating cat paw, and I hadn't even thought about it until like we talked about doing the story. Then all of a sudden it occurred to me, the vibrating cat paw that I had bought my stepfather for Christmas.
1859. And our first guest today is Hannah Marcus, singer-songwriter extraordinaire.
Hello?
Hey, Hannah.
Oh, you're introduced. Hi.
How are you?
Introducing you. Hello.
Good. So it was December 24th, and I had just returned from a week in Puerto Rico with my family. And
how was that week in Puerto Rico?
It was challenging. There was a all-inclusive family resort, so there was a lot of going down the water slide with my 7-year-old nephew. But you know, as Jews, we get confused about exactly how to behave on December 24th. It was easier when I was dating an Episcopalian, because then I just shuffle off to midnight mass with them. But now, you know, I have that sort of longings that all choose to have for the Savior. No, but no, longing for, you know, the pagan rituals of Christmas. All right, so anyway, there I was, you know, getting my bags upstairs, and my housemate was there, and I'm Jewish. He's half Jewish. His mother's an Egyptian Jew, I guess. And then his girlfriend is, I suppose, Buddhist. So the three of us, you know, didn't really have much to do. So we went down to Enid's, the local bar, which was absolutely empty of all customers and lit up beautifully. And it had these homemade snowflakes hanging from the ceiling. And my favorite bartender was there. And at this point, it's very rare that Enid's is not crowded because it's become wildly popular with the young people. But tonight it was empty. So we all sat around, and it was just delightful. The three of us sat there. The bartender happens to have great taste in music, and he was playing fantastic music, and we ordered Thai food, and, you know, he was just playing one after the other, really sort of mysteriously evocative and nostalgic sort of folk music from the 60s and 70s, and we asked him about a couple of things he was playing, and one of them was Graham Nash's really great solo record, and there was, like, I think he was playing Lee Hazelwood, some various things that I didn't recognize. And so at some point, you know, it's always a little embarrassing to have to get up and ask the bartender what he's playing on his iPod, but every so often something, you know, strikes you so much that you just can't hold yourself back, or at least you can't hold yourself back from asking the person across from you to go and ask what it was. So I asked Jason to get up because I really liked this one particular song, and it seemed just sort of appropriate to the whole evening. It sort of, it really just evoked a, you know, special, unique Christmas Eve quality. So anyway, he went up to ask the bartender what it was. We sort of had a little guessing game beforehand, but, and it turned out it was Charles Manson.
1859. Our next story is by Audra Epstein, and for the first time ever, we are talking to her via Skype. Hi, Audra.
Hi, now I'm worried that you said my last name.
Isn't it true that we're going to manhandle Audra's voice though, so that she sounds like she's in the witness protection program?
Oh, is that what you want, Audra?
You could do that.
Or are you comfortable being your own voice?
I can be my own voice.
I mean, you just tell us. If we can make you a man if you want. If you want to say a few words, we'll make it a man.
If you think it would sound funnier, because I don't think I'm going to have the best affect today.
You sound fine to me. Tell your story, Audra.
Was that a command?
It was a request.
It was a plea. It was
right,
a beseechment.
Right. Okay, so I decided not to go home and spend Christmas with my family this year for the first year in my life, even though I'm Jewish, and it really doesn't matter if I'm there or not. So my friend, a woman I know from a bar, invited me over to her place for Christmas, which I thought was a lovely gesture. And I didn't realize until I got there that it was going to be really pretty much only her family and not a bunch of Brooklyn Christmas orphans. But it was her family and only her family. And that pretty much consisted... Oh, wait, that's not true. I keep forgetting about the Russian guy. The Russian guy is... The Russian guy is crucial to this whole story. So crucial. So there was the Russian guy, me, my friend Claire's mother, and her brother Alex. And so, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know, you know, how Christmassy they were going to be, you know. But I got there, and Claire's mom was wearing a pair of deer antlers. A headband, and she was wearing earrings that had Christmas ornaments dangling from them, and they were also making origami Christmas ornaments when I arrived. So I went into the kitchen and started to make latkes, because that was my contribution to the potluck. And probably about maybe 3/4 of a bottle of wine later, after we'd eaten, we're sitting around watching Pretty in Pink for some reason. And Claire and her mother were in the kitchen cleaning up, and the Russian guy and Alex and I were just sort of sitting around watching YouTube videos. And so the Russian guy's name is Yuri. And they decided they wanted to show me a YouTube video called Jizz in My Pants. Jizz in My Pants. And I'd never seen it before, but I remember feeling like, oh no, what if Claire's mom walks in and she hears Jizz in My Pants. Should we even have this on? This feels so wrong. It's Christmas. But I decided to be cool, and so they played the video. And I didn't really think it was that funny at the time, I think, because I was so nervous. I've watched it a couple times since, and it actually is pretty funny. And so we're watching it, and for some reason, somebody suggests that I say jizz in my pants to Claire and Alex's mother. And I said, no, that's stupid. You know, we're adults. I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to do this. You're ridiculous. And then they offered me $10 to do it. And my eyes kind of widened and my heart leapt a little. And I said, okay, I'll do it.
I like how adulthood just goes completely by the boards.
For $10?
For $10.
So I get into the dining room, which is right next to the kitchen where Claire and her mom are doing the dishes. And I turned around to them and I said, I can't do this. Actually, I can't do this. And the other guy said, okay, I'll give you $5. And I said, okay, so that's $15 total? And they said, yes. Claire's mom walks into the dining room. And all I remember of the whole incident is that I just kind of slowly walked up to her and said, jizz, and
she and it had a question mark like that.
yes, and she sort of put her hand on my arm and patted me, and Alex and Yuri were in stitches, and Claire shook her head. Jizz in my pants. This will never happen. You can take my word. I want to apologize. That's just
1859. Well, thanks for listening to another 1859 podcast.
I'm Rick Moody.
And I'm Michael Hurst.
And we recorded at Urban Geek Studios with our friends Hannah Marcus by phone.
And Audra Epstein by Skype.
And special thanks to Richard House for his story on Bali, which we'll try to post on the website because we couldn't fit it in, what with our new format.
See you next time.
Nothing's worse, really, than the 24-hour flu.
It's never
the 36-hour flu is worse. Or the 48-hour flu. 72-hour flu, that's true.
I had the 72-hour flu last year. That was pretty bad.
I've had the 10-year flu.
Yeah, oh, miss it?
I used to throw up on Christmas every year. It was like a sort of a rite of passage for me.
Tell us your. Let's introduce her first of all.